welcome to this Canadian Opera Company podcast sponsored by Decca, the opera label. My name is Jana Wichlow, and I'm joined today by my podcast co-presenter, Gianmarco Segato. Hello, Gianmarco.
Hello, good morning.
Well, here we are again in 2012 and all geared up for some hot opera to take the damp chill off the Canadian winter.
Although the weather's not been that cold,
it's not
to say.
Yeah, I'm not complaining, honest. We're presenting two operas in repertoire this winter. The first is a 21st century classic, already a classic, I should say, Kaija Saariaho's stunning Love from Afar. And you should check out all the online clips. We've got podcasts on there and beautiful examples of the music and what you're going to see. Along with that, we're presenting a 20th century classic, one of the most popular operas of all time, Giacomo Puccini's Tosca. And we heard the opening bars there at the top of our podcast. The recording we're listening to today is also a classic, my personal favorite of all time, from the Membrane label. It's the 1953 recording with Maria Callas as Tosca, Giuseppe Di Stefano as Cavaradossi, and the wonderful Tito Gobbi as Scarpia. Victor De Sabata conducts the orchestra and chorus of La Scala. And you can find this recording on sale at the Opera Shop. Gianmarco, let's talk a bit about why Tosca is the timeless hit that it is.
Boy, for me it's first and foremost the music. I think the plot sometimes gets denigrated slightly for being a bit of a potboiler, and I think it's a great story. I mean, it's almost like watching a movie. It's so exciting. But the music, Puccini knew exactly what he was doing. It moves quickly. There's nothing that's extraneous, and there's great melodies. The orchestration is rich and very expressive. You could almost not have the vocal line. I mean, you wouldn't want that at all. But I mean, the orchestration and the way he puts it all together, you know what the story is just from listening to the orchestra almost.
The story's right in the music.
Yeah.
It's right there,
yeah.
Isn't it? I love the very strong heroine. Tosca's such an interesting heroine because I always get the impression that she's not very young. She's a successful opera singer.
Right.
And again, this is interesting because there's not a lot of operas about opera singers.
No, no.
This is one of them. And she's a famous woman in her own right. She and Cavaradossi are very much in love, and you don't know if it's at the start of their relationship or if they've been together for a while. They're not married.
Mm-hmm.
He's an artist and she's a singer, so maybe at the time it was probably something that people weren't too shocked about because they were sort of crazy artistic
Bohemians.
Types. But that's sort of unusual. You know, they're not these sort of young, yeah. innocent playthings. They're grown-up people who've mm-hmm, made mm-hmm, lives of their mm-hmm. own and careers of their own, and they're very much in love, and she's a strong character. She's very passionate, you know, wears her emotions on her sleeve completely.
And it's a good point you make, because if you compare her character, say, to even just some of the Verdi heroines that come just before this in the sort of progression of opera, Italian opera especially, there's some strong characters in the Verdi operas, no doubt, but they are a bit more cardboard in a way, like whereas Tosca, like you say, she has all the emotions of a real person. She's more believable, I think, as a real person.
And continuing the idea of her strength, this is a spoiler alert, by the way. What happens at the end is of her own choosing as well.
Yeah.
She's unusual that way. It's just she's strong right up till the very mm-hmm. end, with all that she's had to deal with. I think another big exciting feature of this opera is Scarpia. He has to be he's up there with Iago. He's a villain you'd love to hate.
Mm-hmm.
And he's this very sort of charismatic character. He's an absolute sod. And she and Scarpia have this act-long duet, basically,
yeah.
in Act Two, where it's a real cat-and-mouse game. And
That Act Two is one of the great pieces of operatic theater, for sure.
Yes.
You know, that game they play, the back and forth.
I think Tosca makes a great first opera. I mean, it's always hard to say what someone will respond to and what mm-hmm. it is that they're looking in any sort of theatre. We have some extra performances of this production that we're doing this winter, so if you want to introduce a friend to the opera, this would be a great time to do that.
If you're listening to this podcast, you'll have discovered the COC's latest online venture, which is COC Radio. And it is our hub for all multimedia related to and created by the company. If you go to our homepage, this is how you can find it, coc.ca, you will see a link on the top menu at the right, And from there, you can listen, especially for this opera, for Tosca, to a listening guide. You can watch a video of soprano Adrian Piacanca talking about Tosca, and also discover the Tosca-inspired jewelry at the opera shop, which is being featured this run.
That's right, because you met and talked with Nancy Ciccone, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, there's a short interview with her. Nancy Ciccone is a Toronto jewelry artist who we featured several times before at the opera shop. But this run, she's created an amazing set of jewels inspired by the jewels that Maria Callas wore in the 1950s when she was the reigning Tosca of the day. And I really encourage people to come and see it. You will have to wear your sunglasses.
Now, there's one set. There's the single tiara,
yes.
Magnificent necklace and earrings that
right.
I imagine one lucky patron will be purchasing. Mm-hmm. And then there's other sets of earrings.
Of earrings, yeah.
That are inspired by it as
exactly.
well. And other pieces as well. There's yeah. a lot of good jewelry this
way. It's bling city. So there's lots to explore, and we hope you'll have fun going to our COC radio and looking at all the various videos and podcasts we have there for you.
Also on the website, you'll find Alexander Neef's blog, which will give you fascinating insights into the life of the general director of an opera company. Parlando is our general COC blog, full of up-to-date news on everything COC, behind-the-scenes goings-on, interviews. And you can follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook for breaking news, special offers, contests, all that sort of stuff. It can all be found at coc.ca, along with the recent announcement of our 2012-2013 season.
And I just watched the video trailer that we put together for the 12-13 season.
Yes. Which year is it?
And it's incredible. It's really something. There's great music. You get interviews with some of the artists who are appearing. So it's a good synopsis of what's coming up.
And we will, in the next few weeks, we'll be creating a season preview podcast for next season. And
right.
you'll hear musical excerpts and a little bit about the productions and the stars at that time. Well, let's listen to some music now from Tosca. If you're interested in hearing the full synopsis in detail, we have another podcast in this same playlist, and that'll be me reading the plot to you. We're not going to do the whole synopsis here again, but we're going to play some very juicy samples of the music. In Act One, the politically active painter Mario Cavaradossi is working on a portrait of Mary Magdalene in the church. As he paints the blue-eyed blonde, he compares her beauty with that of his fiery lover, the dark-haired, dark-eyed Tosca. We'll hear frequent Callas collaborator Giuseppe Di Stefano in his prime sing Recondita Armonia.
Dammi colori, le diverse bellezze insieme confonde.
The COC's Tosca is running for 14 performances until February 25th at the Four Seasons Centre for the Performing Arts in Toronto. If you're listening from outside Toronto, come and visit us and see our fantastic opera house and see what a great opera house is all about. We'll go a bit into the background now. Tosca was a play by Victorien Sardou that premiered in 1887 with the famed actress Sarah Bernhardt in the title role. If you Google the play, you can actually find it online, the entire thing. It's a big five-act play with a huge cast, including the Queen of Naples and a whole host of other colourful characters. Well, in 1889, Puccini expressed interest in the piece when he wrote to his publisher, Ricordi, to get Sardou's permission to use the story as the basis for an opera. He explained, "In this Tosca, I see the opera which exactly suits me, one without excessive proportions, one which is a decorative spectacle, and one which gives me an opportunity for abundance of music." Well, there was no progress made, and Puccini saw the play again in Florence in 1895, and he decided to pursue it further. The rights had been given to another composer, Alberto Franchetti. Luigi Illica had already written the libretto for him. Now, the publisher Ricordi knew that Puccini would do a superb job with the opera, so he and Illica sort of underhandedly persuaded Franchetti to give up the rights, persuading him that the piece wouldn't make a good opera.
Franchetti must have been kicking himself.
Can you imagine when he found out? So Puccini got the rights to do the opera, and librettist Giuseppe Giacosa was brought in to revise Illica's work. He wasn't convinced the material was opera-worthy, but Puccini persuaded him it was, and by 1898, Puccini had the full libretto to set to music. 2 years later, the opera premiered in Rome to mixed reviews. Some considered it vulgar and sordid. I believe it was Joseph Kerman who coined the much-repeated phrase, shabby little shocker. Well, the shabby little shocker has become, I suppose it's a top 10 opera, isn't it?
Oh, I'm sure it's top five.
It's a great lasting piece of exciting musical drama.
Well, we sort of alluded to this at the beginning of the podcast. I mean, there is this tendency among these so-called serious music lovers to put down a lot of Puccini. Adrienne Pietrzonka, another thing you can check out that will be linked, I'm sure, somewhere on our website. Adrienne did an interview with Extra Magazine the last few days, and she talks about this a bit. And she says, oh, you know, how people tend to see Wagner and Strauss as, you know, the really pinnacle of operatic, but she said, you know, she loves this music, and I think that's what it is. People just respond emotionally to the music, and he wasn't a hack. I mean, he knew exactly what he was doing. All of his operas have this sort of very taut structure, where you can't imagine anything being taken out of it. It just all works.
I think of all the composers I know, he was the most theatrically exact as well. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. Mm-hmm. There's things that happen in the score. You can't change. You can't do anything else but do what's happening in the music. It's so completely explicit. Well, it's become central to the opera repertoire. The role of Tosca is considered to be one of the composer's most varied and interesting heroines. She's fit for great operatic actresses, dramatic sopranos with real acting chops.
And speaking of great operatic actresses, we have two wonderful sopranos sharing the role of Tosca at the COC. One we've already mentioned, Adrienne Pietrzonka, who's a great Canadian soprano who lives here in Toronto. She sings in all the great opera houses of the world. She has appeared with the COC most recently, just this past season, as the prima donna and in the title role of Ariadne of Naxos. And
what are those odds that she's singing two opera singers in a row?
I hadn't thought about that.
Because actually, if you think about it, what are the other opera singers? I mean, Adriana Lecouvreur is an actress.
An actress,
These are the two that leap to mind, and she's played these two in a row. So she was the prima donna, as you said, and now she's Tosca.
Well, she's sung this role all over the place, and people have probably seen her not only here at the COC, but she's been in several Met productions lately. She was in Simon Boccanegra in the HD series with Placido Domingo a couple of years ago. So she's quite wonderful. Now, our other Tosca is Julie Makarov, who sings all over the U.S. and Europe, including Chicago and Frankfurt. She's sung with the company several times and has become a favorite with us. She was most recently Senta in The Flying Dutchman. for which she won a Dora Award, and that was an incredible performance.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was very moving and beautifully sung. She also sang the role at the Salzburg Festival, and in previous seasons, she was seen here as Rusalka and also Donna Elvira in Don Giovanni. And you can read a feature, an interview with both our Toscas in our company magazine Prelude, which is also available online on our website at coc.ca/publications.
We also have two dashing tenors as Cavaradossi, both making their COC debuts, Carlo Ventre and Brandon Jovanovich. The Uruguayan-born Ventre made his operatic debut fortuitously at La Scala in Milan. That'll be quite the debut. And he was the Duke in Rigoletto. Since then, he's sung in all over, Chicago, Hamburg, Frankfurt, Tokyo. And he made his Royal Opera House debut last year as Radames in Aida. We also have American tenor Brandon Jovanovich, who made his Met debut in 2009-10 as Don José in Carmen. And he sung all over his homeland, Chicago, Santa Fe, San Francisco, Washington, and abroad at Glyndebourn, San Carlo, Bregenz, La Scala, and more. Well, we'll hear a little bit more music now. Tosca and Cavaradossi sing a wonderful duet in Act One. And I'm not sure what makes this different, but as I said before, there's something more mature about this duo. I don't believe they're young. I don't believe mm-hmm. they're just the start of a relationship.
And they've had probably a couple of relationships before this I think.
I think so, yes. There's something experienced about them. And of course, part of it is also that they're not perfect. I mean, Tosca is so jealous. She's so suspicious and uncertain. And in that regard, I think she's portrayed as an artist so well. You know, she's mm-hmm. very sensitive. She's very worried and, you know, mm-hmm. unsure of herself. And I think that goes hand in hand with being a highly creative person.
Mm-hmm.
I remember reading an interview with Franco Zeffirelli when he was directing Callas in her historic performances. And he wanted Tosca to be portrayed as though Anna Magnani was playing her.
Mm.
That real sort of earthy woman with great passions and great feelings and insecurities. She was not a black and white character. She's very human, and I think that's why we care for her so much. We'll hear part of the Act One love duet with Maria Callas and Giuseppe Di Stefano.
Viaggerò.
Thank you.
corva, lasciami.
Tu fino a stasera stai ferma al lavoro e mi prometti sia cosa fortuna, sia treccia bionda bruna, a pregar non verrà donna nessuna.
Lo giuro, amore, va.
Quanto m'apprendi?
Ancora.
Perdono
davanti alla Madonna.
Well, then we come to Baron Skarpier. This is the man we all love to hate. He's one of the most loathsome villains in opera, but very intriguing at the same time. It's such a role. Skarpier is a highly sexual, predatory, sadistic chief of police.
Sounds lovely.
It does. And he probably has, I think, the best entrance music.
Oh.
Everyone needs a theme tune. I know.
For anyone who hasn't seen the opera out there, you'll know when Skarpier is coming.
Yes,
it's
right.
Made very clear, yes.
We're thrilled to have Marc Delavan as our Skarpier. Marc has an exciting career all over the world, and he's American-born. Last year, he sang all three Votan roles in San Francisco's Ring Cycle, for which he won great acclaim. He has an exhaustive range of roles at the world's great opera houses, and like all our artists this run, his own website, which is a real delight to read. Like most interesting performers, he's more than a singer, and I urge you to read more about him there on his website. Let's hear something from the rascally Skarpier now. That's being kind. Here's part of his Act Two soliloquy, where he extols his favorite seduction, which is not a gentle wooing, but a violent conquest. Skarpier likes wine and women, and he tells us, takes his satisfaction and tosses them aside. Nice guy. We'll hear the wonderful Tito Gobbi.
Sapore, la conquista violenta, quel bellicio consenso, io di sospiri e di notti ginosi almeno una riposa m'appago, non so trarre accordi di chitarra, né oroscopo di fior, né farlo. Come torna la cosa bravata persegua me le spazio e via la gente altro vaesta io che ho diverse beltà vini diversi io voglio star quanto più posso dell'opera divina.
Our production is in its second remount here at the COC. Director Paul Curran and designer Kevin Knight have created a very realistic Tosca in its original early 19th century setting. It's even more specific than that. A plot point features the battle between Napoleon's army and Austrian forces on the plain of Marengo near Milan in northern Italy on June 14th. The events of the opera take place 3 days later on June 17th, 1800. Conductor Paolo Carignani leads the COC forces, and it's great to have him here. There's a connection between him and our own musical director, Johannes Debus, who was his mentor. Carignani was Debus's mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And you can read about that in an interview with both of them in our current issue of the magazine I mentioned before, Prelude, which is also available online. In our house program, which you'll also find there online, you can see a photo editorial which, with comments from our director, Paul Curran, and the designer, Kevin Knight, about the choices they made for the look of this production.
And again, that's coc.ca/publications.
Right.
Well, Tosca's not only a romantic, tragic political thriller, it's also quite an action opera, and let's admit it, there are many probably apocryphal stories for the most part, things that have gone wrong during performances. You can read all of these amusing and not so amusing incidents on the website, on the Tosca production page, but I just have to tell my favorite. It's so funny. Apparently, this was at an opera house on the West Coast, or it could be Spain. You know, you hear about it. It could have happened anywhere. It was a small budget, small opera house. Last minute, they hired some dental students, I think, to be the firing squad, the extras at the end of the opera. And these young men were brought in and told, you know, you'll march on stage, here are your guns. When the man raises a sword and drops a sword, you'll fire. You shoot the person who's singing, and then you exit with the principal. This was a little bit confusing to them. They went on stage, there was a man singing, a woman singing. They fired at the woman, but the man fell. And the woman ran up the steps to jump off the parapet, and they all ran off and jumped off after. I don't know.
That's so good. Much fun. There's so many of them. I mean, another one I just thought of was, the famous Spanish soprano Montserrat Caballé, when she was singing it for a while. Now, you know, she wasn't, I don't know, known as the greatest actress, great singer, but, you know, and she didn't like to move a lot on stage, apparently. So instead of jumping off the parapet, I've read about performances where she just sort of like drifted off into the wings, you know. I don't know.
And then
who knows?
Tosca's jumping, who bounce off on a mattress or something.
I think that's the thing, though, about an opera like that has such great popularity as Tosca, that, you know, all these stories build up and it's all part of the whole thing.
The part of the great affection point as well. Well, I think on that note, we should listen to the last moments of Tosca as she discovers Scarpia's final vile double cross from the grave. Cavaradossi has, in fact, been executed. Tosca's murder of Scarpia has been discovered, and the distraught Tosca decides to meet Scarpia before a higher power as she takes her own life, leaping off the battlements of the Castel Sant'Angelo. We'll hear Maria Callas as Tosca, Angelo Mercuriali as Spoletta, and Dario Caselli as Sciarrone.
Presto su, Mario, Mario, su presto andiam, su, su, Mario, Mario!
Enjoyed this taste of Puccini's Tosca. You can hear and read more about the opera online at coc.ca, where you can also purchase tickets and the recording we've been listening to. We'd love to hear from you. Check out our podcast updates on the COC's Facebook page and let us know what you think, or ask us questions. Or if you have suggestions for podcasts, that would be great too. This is Jana Wichler with Gianmarco Segato. Please join us again in this continuing series of podcasts sponsored by Decca, the opera label.